Good evening, everybody. It's good to be back. It's good to see everyone that's here. It's good to have Sister Pat and Sister Barb back with us this evening, and it's so good to have the Fields visiting with us. Please open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 34, and we're going to pick up where we left off last week. The last couple weeks we've been talking about shepherds and sheep, and last week we looked at the different types of shepherds that are in the Old Testament. We looked at Abel, and he represents the death of a shepherd. We looked at Jacob and saw where he's a shepherd that cares for the flock. We looked at Joseph and saw that he fed the flock. We looked at Moses and saw that he fed and led the flock. We looked at David and saw that he was a type of the shepherd that risked his life for the flock. And we ended up in Ezekiel chapter 34, and we looked at the false shepherds, the rulers of Israel that were irresponsible shepherds. They were not doing what God wanted them to do. He was displeased with them. And we ended talking about them in verse 15 and 16. Well, let's look at verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherds shall feed themselves no more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. So the shepherds were abusing the flock, God's flock. And let's pick up at verse 11. We're going to do quite a bit of reading this evening, but I think it'll help pull things together. And we're going to see where all of these passages, these types of shepherds in the Old Testament, are going to point toward the good shepherd. We see here toward the end of the Old Testament time, where God is going to take the flock away from them. And let's begin reading in verse 11 of Ezekiel 34. For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Here we see such a contrast of what God says that he is going to do when he takes away the flock from the religious leaders that have been abusing him. Notice in verse 11, he says, I myself, God is personally going to search for my sheep. I will care for my sheep in verse 12. I will deliver them. God's not going to send somebody else to do this. He loves his sheep so much. And again, we've been looking at the shepherd and the sheep as a relationship. He loves us so much that he himself is going to do this. I will bring them to their own land. I will feed them. I'll feed them in a good pasture. I'll feed my flock and I will lead them to rest. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken and strengthen the sick. We see this picture of this loving shepherd that takes care of a sheep that cannot take care of himself. Let's keep reading. In verse 23, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make a covenant of peace with them and cause wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. I will make them and the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season, and there shall be showers of blessing. Then the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase. They shall be safe in their land, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them from the hand of those who enslaved them. So notice again, God speaks about all that he is going to do personally for his sheep, for his flock. He says, I'll make a covenant of peace with them. Are his sheep going to have to worry about the enemies? No. He says, I'll cause the wild beasts to cease from the land, and they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. His sheep would be protected and be comforted. And verse 26 and 27 are so beautiful. I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing, and I will cause showers to come down in their season. There shall be showers of blessing. We sing a song with that title. Showers of blessing. God, our shepherd, blesses us so richly. He doesn't say it's going to be a drop. He doesn't say it's going to be a sprinkle and not a shower, but showers. But showers. There shall be showers of blessings. And again, you think about the physical and compared to the spiritual. In Palestine, water was scarce. They couldn't just go out and every 50 feet find water for their sheep. Wells weren't plentiful. And the shepherd had to know where the water was. He had to know where to lead the sheep to find the water. Pasture was scarce. Water was scarce. So they had to keep moving, had to keep grazing and keep moving. But what is God going to do? He's going to give us showers. And you just think physically, that would make the pastures grow, that would give them water to drink. But he's not just talking about those blessings, but spiritual blessings. He's going to give us showers of blessings, just like showers in the springtime that penetrate down, they sink into the earth, they refresh and restore and make things alive. Verse 28, and they shall no longer be a prey of nations for beasts, for the land shall devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and no one shall make them afraid. I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in the land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, and with them, and they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. You are my flock, the flock of my pasture. You are men, and I am your God, says the Lord God. So all of this is pointing toward God being our shepherd. So let's turn over to John chapter 10 and pick up there. And again, like I said, the Bible has much to say about shepherds and the other lessons that we've looked at. And we don't think too much about that. And the last song that we sung, I don't know if you're paying attention or not, but we sung about following the footsteps of Jesus when he was going looking for the lost sheep. The song we sang earlier, Higher Ground, that's a reference to Psalm 23. When David said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And in the song we sang, it's Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. Again, that's that high plateau land in Palestine that they would clear and prepare for the sheep. But let's start reading in John chapter 10. most assuredly, and here Jesus is speaking, most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he brings out his own sheep. He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. I apologize here. I've got something tangled up. Jesus used this illustration in verse 6, but they did not understand the things he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And let's stop here for a minute. In verse 10, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've heard this referred to as Satan, and I've even said that myself sometimes. But looking at the context in this, he's not talking about Satan, but he's talking about these Pharisees, these false teachers. These false teachers that are trying to come in some other way and steal the sheep from the true shepherd. In verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd or one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. A shepherd may have had several different positions in being a shepherd with the sheep. He may have owned the flock himself. He may have been the son of the owner. The flock represented the livelihood for the shepherd. Some of them, if it was their own flock, they would want to increase that flock because that's where they got their meat, that's where they got their cheese, that's where they got their wool. What they needed, they got from those sheep. Someone might be a shepherd working for someone else and not to get paid, but would get a percentage of the flock. And we've seen that throughout the Old Testament. But they would work for the wages of the sheep because, again, that would enhance their material possessions. Their food, their wool, their clothing. So that's the two basic types of shepherds. But then you also had a hireling. He was just in it for the money. Yeah, I'll watch your sheep. Where are they? You pay me every day and I'll watch your sheep. And then he would go and watch the sheep until what? Until some danger comes along. He doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't care about them. Some danger comes along. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. He sees a wolf coming, the sheep flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. What's the hireling going to do? He's going to take off too. Is Jesus one of the thieves and robbers that comes into the fold? No. Is he a hireling that doesn't care for the sheep? No. He says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is going to sacrifice himself for the sheep. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Gentiles. He's going to bring the Gentiles into the fold. There isn't going to be a flock here and a flock there and a flock somewhere else. There's going to be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Who took Jesus' life? Who took his life? Look at verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus willingly, he lovingly sacrificed his life for us like a shepherd would for his sheep. So let's notice some of the qualities of a good shepherd. Here we see in verse 2, there is a lawful entrance. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So that's, again, in contrast to verse 1. He who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a robber and a thief, if he's trying to come in over the wall, he's not the true shepherd, but the true shepherd enters by the door. Notice his labor is rewarded with success in verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he calls them out. If you can make out this picture, this is a picture of a sheepfold. This is made out of rocks. It's made out of rocks, and there's an opening over here. When they would go out and have a pasture outside of the city for a time, they would put their sheep in there at night for protection. Closer to the city, they would have one of these that was common, where the different shepherds would bring their sheep and put them in at night, and they would be protected. So in the morning, how would they know whose sheep was whose? Well, look at it again. To him, the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And I've known a few shepherds in my life, and each of them, when they call their sheep, they have a different way of calling their sheep. It's a different sound, a different call. And the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. They hear his voice. He's rewarded with success. And notice too, keep reading there, and when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So the shepherd speaks so the sheep can understand. Jesus speaks so that we can understand. Do we recognize the voice of Jesus when we hear it? Or do we follow the voice of strangers? Do we follow just anyone? Notice too, he's well acquainted with his flock. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by them. Again, there's this intimate relationship. What kind of relationship do we have with Jesus? He leads the flock. He goes before them, back again in verse 4. He doesn't drive them, he leads them. And you think too of those pictures that we looked at before of the shepherd out in the pasture going through the valleys and the danger places. And a predator, where would a predator hide? Would they just stand out in the open field? or would they be hiding behind something that's up ahead? Well, if you drove the sheep through there, what's going to happen to your sheep? That lion or that bear or the wolf or something is going to catch them. But the shepherd goes before, he leads. He leads. He's going to come across the danger first. He's going to lead his sheep safely through the danger. He's going to lead us. He gives us a good example, the shepherd, of how he takes care of us and he loves us. And that's one of the reasons why elders are compared to shepherds. And you think of 1 Peter chapter 5, and it's not of constraint, not for the sake of filthy lucre. It's not like a hireling, not lording it over the charge allotted to you. An elder doesn't lord over the flock, making yourselves examples. And Peter is an example of an elder that loved the sheep. And you think about what Paul wrote to the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. Because not all shepherds, not all elders are going to be like the good shepherd. Some of them are going to be like the evil shepherds, the false shepherds, back in Ezekiel 34, the first part. But Paul warned the elders, take heed unto yourselves and unto all the flock and feed the church. So back, all the way back from the Old Testament, there were good and bad shepherds. When we compare that to the church with elders, Paul warns them to take heed unto yourselves, take heed to the flock. And we see where the first major division in the Lord's church arose from the eldership, where one was being positioned over the others. Now back to John chapter 10. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Your translation may say door, it may say gate. And he says he's the good shepherd. He says, I'm the good shepherd and I am the door. How can he be both? Well, we understand how Jesus was the good shepherd by the example that he led. But again, when you look at this picture of this sheepfold, and it's an enclosure with an opening, what is the door there? That's where the shepherd would sleep at night. He would sleep at that door. And if something were to go and enter into the sheepfold, if a wolf wanted to get in there, it had to go through the door. It had to go through the shepherd. And the shepherd is going to keep his flock safe. So he is the door in, and he is also the shepherd. On in verse 16, other sheep I have, the Gentiles. Jesus did not die exclusively for the Jews. He died for all men, for whosoever. And his blood flowed forward and it flowed backwards. Jesus gives the fullest proof of his deity. In verse 17, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. What was the fullest proof of his deity? The resurrection. And again, because of that resurrection, we can have hope. Notice verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. What does verse 18 show? It shows the authority. Jesus, the good shepherd, has all authority. He can lay down his life. He can take it back up. Let's keep reading in verse 19, therefore there is a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Here we see that Jesus had the power to work miracles. Verse 22. Now, it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem and in the winter. And Jesus walked in the temple. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. How did the Jews like this account that Jesus was telling them? In verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but you blaspheme, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus, this goes back to show that these were thieves and robbers. These were thieves and robbers, these Pharisees that he was talking to. They wanted to take control of the flock. They wanted to take control of the Israelites. They wanted the Jews to look to them as their source of authority and not Jesus. So we see, going back to where we started with this study, we saw Jesus as the good shepherd in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We saw the different types of shepherds that are listed throughout the Old Testament. And we ended with looking at the false shepherds, the unkind shepherds in Ezekiel 34. But then Ezekiel turns to talking about the good shepherd. And we see that in John 10. Sheep and shepherds are used in many of Jesus' parables. Jesus is referred to as the Lamb of God. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So you stop and think about that. All of these word pictures that help us understand Jesus. Jesus as a lamb, he's the perfect, spotless, sinless Son of God that's going to shed his precious blood for our sins. He's going to be the sacrifice that we could not offer. He's going to do that. He's going to be our shepherd. He's going to be our shepherd that is going to guide us and lead us. And like we read about back in Ezekiel, that's going to bear us in his arms. He's going to carry us when we fall. He's going to protect us. He's going to take care of us. And it's interesting. Let's look at one other passage here in closing. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and I was alluding to this earlier, but 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as lords over those entrusted you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Jesus is referred to as the chief shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus is referred to as the good shepherd. And in Hebrews 13:20, Jesus is referred to as the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Back to this slide with this sheepfold and Jesus being the door, and he's being the shepherd. There's a couple lessons we can't leave tonight without understanding. If you want to get into the sheepfold, how do you get in? Can you come over the wall? Can't do that. You got to go in through the door. You got to go into the door, into the sheepfold. If you want to get into the church, how do you do that? Can you come over the wall? Can you come around the corner? No, you got to go through the door. Who is the door? Jesus is the door. We cannot get into the church without going through Jesus. It just is an impossibility. We want to go to heaven. How do we get to heaven? We've got to go through the door. We've got to go through Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The simple illustration of a sheep and a shepherd teaches us so much about our relationship with us and God. Friends, are you outside of the sheepfold? Don't you want to be in so you have the protection of the good shepherd? Don't you want to be in the church because that's where the Lord adds all the saved? Don't you want to make it to heaven? Friends, we've got to accept Christ. We've got to submit to Him, submit to His will, do what He says, follow Him, and He will lovingly take care of us all the days of our life. If there's anyone here this evening that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.